Okay. I'd like to thank everybody for coming, and I'd like to thank the clergy for the opportunity to prepare this share and hopefully give it over properly. Okay, we are now in the time period known as Sfiras HaOmer, between Pesach and Shavuos, and as we know, we're counting the days and the week from the second day of Pesach until we hit Shavuos in Vav Sivan. Now, the source for this mitzvah is Min HaTorah. It's a parish apostolic in Parshas Emo. We learned a couple weeks ago. However, nowadays, the place can pass in, it's all going to be the Rabbanon for numerous reasons. Due to the fact, mostly because there's no HaKravas HaOmer, the carbon that goes along with it, unfortunately, we can't do nowadays, or Beis HaMikdash, so the minyan is only going to be the Rabbanon. Now, the Shulchan Aruch, like we have on page 1, in Hilchas, towards the end of Hilchas Pesach, and Simon Tuf Peites, in Tif Zion, Paskins and tells us halacha that if someone forgot to count at night with the bracha, as we know we count every night with the bracha, so you're allowed to count during the day, so to speak, to make up the counting, but when you count during the day, you do not make a bracha. You only count the days and the weeks, and you don't make a bracha, you just say the number. The Shulchan Aruch continues in Tif Ches and tells us halacha that if someone forgot to completely count the whole night and the whole day, then he loses his opportunity to continue saying the counting with the bracha. I mean, even if he remembers the next night and he wants to count that night, he could count, but the Shulchan Aruch says now he's limited in his mitzvah and that he cannot count with a bracha, and he can only count the appropriate number of weeks and days, but he cannot make the bracha. However, the Shulchan Aruch concludes, if he's only mistupik, if he's in doubt, meaning the next night he forgot, did I count last night, did I not count last night, and he's really being honest with himself, he's really in doubt, then he may continue to count with a bracha. Now we're going to accept this for now as halacha p'suka, because the Shulchan Aruch quotes it without any machloikis, there's no two opinions here, there's no options. Truth be told though, this is a big machloikis harishayim, and the Shulchan Aruch is siding one way, and he has the right to do that, but the Shulchan Aruch only gives us this option of saying if you miss a whole day, then you cannot continue to count with the bracha, you can only count the days and the weeks by itself without making the appropriate bracha. Now this is a well-known halacha, unfortunately almost a lot of people, so everybody has some time in their life experienced this embarrassing part of Sfiras HaOmer, that you're at the end of Maariv and you realize that last night, for whatever reason, you missed davening, or you missed davening with the shul, and you forgot to count Sfira, and here you are, you realize the whole day has passed, and you forgot to count the previous day, and now you have to go with your friends and say, Kibbutz Yimaitzmi in a bracha. This is a common scenario which plays itself out in many shuls all over the globe between Pesach and Shavuot. Approximately 12, 13 years ago, I was a young whippersnapper, Beis Medrash Bracha, and it was during Ben Azmanim break, Pesach, and I was sitting in a different Agudah Shul in Brooklyn, learning with my chavrusa, his name was Abby Goldenberg, we're sitting and learning, and one of the Baal Batim, who enjoyed, starting up with the Shiva Bachrim, came over to us and said, oh, you guys, you're here from back Ben Azmanim, very nice to see you, so don't you know this halacha, that, you know, you miss the day of Sfiras HaOmer, you can't count with the bracha? Yeah, we know the halacha, thank you. Well, can you give me any examples of any cases where if you would miss a day, the whole day you could still count with the bracha? And at the time, both of us, myself and my chavrusa, we didn't really, we never learned this, you know, sugya properly, and we said, no, we don't really have any cases. And the guy, of course, was satisfied with himself that he has outsmarted the Yeshiva Bracha. So, now that we're holding a couple years later, I'd like to suggest and seek out many different possibilities of this halacha, and we will try to, some of them, we will come out with definitive answers, some of them will be left hanging. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch, in the same siman, but not on this page that we have in Sif Aleph, tells us the halacha is that there's a mitzvah incumbent upon each and every individual, like we said, to count the Sfiras HaOmer. And the Mishabu explains over there in the beginning of the siman that the reason for this is the pasuk that we had laid a couple weeks ago in Parshas Emo, Uspartem Lochem. We should count for ourselves. There's a mitzvah for each and every individual to do a personal counting between these days of Pesach and Shavuot. As opposed to, for example, the mitzvah we had in this past week's Parshas Bahar, there's a mitzvah upon Beis Din to count the years of Yovel every year from, to count the years of the Shemitah cycle until ultimately get to Yovel. That's a mitzvah exclusively on Beis Din in Yerushalayim. This is a mitzvah incumbent upon each and every individual as a personal obligation to count the days of the Sfira. Now, although by many Brichas HaMitzvahs we have a principle called Beroiv Am Hadras Melech, that it is an honor to Hashem if we do his mitzvahs that are done together in a public fashion. That's why often by Kiddush or other mitzvahs, we'll have one person do the bracha for everybody. That's Baroiv Am, because one person is doing the mitzvah. It's a way of honoring Hashem, one person doing it in a public fashion. By Sfiras HaOmer, since there's a specific commandment of Lachem, we encourage, and the minig is that, and halacha is, that every person makes his own individual bracha and counts for himself. Now, nonetheless, there is another principle in halacha called Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. All Yidden are guarantors, are responsible to help one another keep the mitzvahs properly. What this principle usually tells us is that it allows me to be most to you to help you fulfill your obligation in the mitzvah if you're having difficulty doing it. For example, you may have difficulty doing it. For example, by Kiddush. So we said before the example of one person, and the halacha of Beroiv Am tells us that one person should make Kiddush for everybody. Okay, but how do we know that he could be moitzi, he could help that person fulfill their obligation? Then the principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh kicks in, that I have a mitzvah upon myself to help guarantee that everybody keeps the mitzvah properly, so I'm responsible for everybody to keep the mitzvahs properly. Therefore, I can make Kiddush, and I can be mighty to you, I can help fulfill your obligations. So we're trying to explain, just to get a little clearer, it's a deficient meaning. Let's say I already made Kiddush. So technically, how can I make Kiddush again for you? I already, it's a done deal. But by you not having fulfilled your mitzvah properly yet, it's also a deficiency in me. There's something lacking in my kima mitzvah if there's another yid who has not yet been able to fulfill that mitzvah. That allows me to help you fulfill your obligation. However, there's a catch to this principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh, that each one of us as a guarantor. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah tells us that Kol She'eino Mechuyev V'davar Eino Yotzi Esara Midei Chavasan. Anyone who's not obligated in that specific mitzvah cannot do it for somebody else. Therefore, the Mishnah delineates, for example, a cheresh, a deaf mute, a shota, someone who's mentally incompetent, or a katan, a minor, cannot fulfill the mitzvah for me. I'm a gadol. I have an obligation to either for me to do it by myself or someone else to help me do it. Someone who's not included in that parsha of the mitzvah, a cheresh, a shota, or a katan, for example, cannot help me fulfill my obligation of the mitzvah. That's all in regular cases. So now, seemingly, let's apply this to our halacha of Sfiras HaOmer. In a typical case of Sfiras HaOmer, the principle of Arvus, of this Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh, we each a guarantor for another, should dictate to me that if for whatever reason I am incapable of making a bracha, maybe I have laryngitis, maybe whatever the case is, I'm not feeling well, someone should be able to make the bracha for me, and I should be able to be yotzei with his bracha. That's the principle, like we just said, of Arvus. He's the guarantor for my mitzvah. I can be yotzei through listening to him make the bracha. Okay, however,
Arvus is telling me that even he's not a bar chiyuva, but I am, and he's like, well, Sam, and I mean,
Yoyi to the Racha. Okay, but let's just keep with Arvus now, because it's working through Arvus that the fact that I'm able to be Moisi the mitzvah through him, let's even, in a case of Kiddush, not the Shemei Ka'ina, because let's say he already fulfilled, right?
Well, in such a case, then you would employ Arvus.
Okay.
If he has not yet fulfilled, it's working.
Okay, so let's tie this into our case now. So again, we have a case of a guy, the topic of discussion is a guy who unfortunately missed a whole day of Sfiras HaOmer. He just totally, blacked out. He missed a whole day. So now, he cannot make a bracha anymore. Would this halacha of Arvus, this halacha of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh, that every person is a guarantor for one another, allow someone else to make a bracha for me? Again, sorry. This guy missed a whole day of Sfiras HaOmer. Excuse me as the example. I missed a whole day of Sfiras HaOmer. And you are still obligated in Sfiras HaOmer. So can I make a bracha for you? Because the principle of Arvus, I'm a guarantor to make sure you have to keep your mitzvahs properly. For whatever reason, you're suffering right now from laryngitis. You can't make the bracha. I, unfortunately, missed a whole day. So do we allow the principle of Arvus, that I'm a guarantor for you, kick in, and therefore I will be able to make a bracha for you? So would this be a case...
On which day do you make the bracha?
We're on the 22nd day of the Omer. I missed the 21st day of the Omer.
Oh, 21st.
I missed the whole... Yesterday. I'm gone. So I can't make a bracha myself
anymore.
So we're
not talking about in some way the fact that he's making a bracha. You missed on the 21st.
Now
we're on... And he still didn't say on the 21st, but now he's going to say it.
The 21st is over.
He has me in mind.
The 21st is over. The 21st passed. Now it's the 22nd day. So I messed up. I lost my bracha. You counted last night with the bracha. You were in good shape. But for that reason, tonight, you are not feeling up to making the bracha. So could I make, same way I can make kiddush for you, so can I make the bracha for you even though I'm not obligated in the bracha right now? You're obligated in the bracha. I'm not. Could I make the bracha for you because I'm an arev, I'm a guarantor that you should have keep
this? So Rabbi Miller, you're suggesting that I should
be able to make the bracha for you. Even though if I'm by myself, I wouldn't be able to make the bracha. But because you're next to me, I can make the bracha. Okay, let's go through the case. So we have on page...
Let's say someone didn't miss a day.
Okay.
And then they come with the bracha, and then they need to be, for whatever reason, they need to be with someone later. They can make the bracha, right?
Oh, okay, very good. That's another side. Okay, that's
but it says right here, you can't.
Yeah. Okay. That's right here. Very good. Excellent.
So you can't do it for any other.
Right, so that is for sure talking about where I, for myself, I'm by myself and at home. I forgot a whole day, so that I can't make another bracha. 100% correct. But here we have somebody else who's next to me who is still obligated in the bracha. So would we apply this principle of arvus, of a guarantee, that I'm a guarantor for him to help him, and he's still obligated in making the bracha?
I understand it, but yours doesn't seem kosher. Depending on this.
Okay.
That you are not allowed to do it anymore.
No,
you can't do it for you. You can't do it for
others. Okay, so what's the doctor suggesting?
The Shemaya Ka'ona, you're doing it for yourself and for others.
Excellent. So he's suggesting that I became, so to speak, like a cheresh. I'm like someone who's not obligated in this mitzvah anymore. Okay, so we're going to see that these two sides of the table that we have now, machlokes, is going to be a big machlokes in the achrayim. We're going to try to discuss each one, why they say their opinion. So on page 2 of the booklet, we have the pre-chadash. The chadash is one of the big early achrayim on the Shulchan Aruch. It was written by a Sephardi Rav, Rabbi Chizkia di Lue, something like that. I don't know how to pronounce his last Sephardic name. What's fascinating about the pre-chadash is that he emigrated to Eretz Yisrael in the late 1600s, and he unfortunately had a very short life. He was nifter at age 39, and in those short amounts of years, he was a prolific author. He wrote on major pirushim on 3 halakha of Shulchan Aruch plus others for him, and he's accepted as one of the big achrayim, especially by the Sephardim. He was of Sephardic descent, and he had the following case. So we're going to discuss a lot of it was bracketed off, and we're going to go through a lot of the parts that were marked off on the sheet. He starts off by quoting a dayan, an anonymous dayan judge, that paskins in a case of what we're discussing, someone who missed an entire day of Sfiras HaOmer. Although he himself, the guy who missed it, excuse me as the example, I missed the entire day of Sfiras HaOmer. Although I cannot count, continue to count for bracha by myself, if I become the shliach tzibur, if I'm the chazin, if I'm leading the ma'ariv service, then at the end of ma'ariv, this dayan paskins that I can now make a bracha for the tzibur. That's what the dayan paskin, and the free chadash is going to discuss whether or not he agrees or disagrees with the psak of this anonymous dayan, this judge. So at first, the free chadash seems to agree, and he speaks how he likes this psak, he likes this ruling, and explains even for sure, he says, like this. If there's someone in the congregation, if there's someone in the seaboard who is incapable of making his own brachas, he's an enoi baki, he's not able to make the brachas, then for sure, that is the shpitz, that's the main purpose of having a shliach seaboard, to help other people with the brachas properly, then for sure the shliach seaboard would be able to make the bracha for him in the crowd and be mostly him with the bracha. So then the pre-chadash says, even if the entire congregation is capable of reciting the bracha by themselves, everyone is literate, everyone has a good education, but, he says, we have other cases we see, for example, by the halacha of Chazaras HaShas. Nowadays, we still do Chazaras HaShas, even though the reason why Chazaras HaShas was instituted was to help those people who are incapable of saying Shmoneh Esrei by themselves. Even though nowadays, there is nobody in the congregation that's being Yotzei, that's fulfilling his obligation with the Shliach Tzibur, nonetheless, we have a halacha that the Shliach Tzibur leads the service and says all the brachas, even though he's not being mighty to anybody. It became sort of a ritual that the Shliach Tzibur says all these brachas, even though he's not technically fulfilling anyone's obligation. That's the pre-chadash. So I would think to say, same thing by Sfiras HaOmer. Just like we have this halacha by Chazaras HaShas, the chazak can repeat the whole Shmoneh Esrei, even though he's not being mighty to anybody, just because of some quote-unquote ritual that the guy standing up over there by the shtender says all the brachas out loud, so too, even though I miss an entire day of Tzvias Omer, if I get up there and be the Shliach Tzibur, I should be able to say the bracha out loud as, quote-unquote, the ritual of the service, and I'll say, I won't be embarrassed anymore. I won't have to go around asking somebody else, excuse me, could you please make the bracha for me? I'll just make sure I become the chazan every night for my Ma'ariv, and I'll save myself any embarrassment. That's what the Prefather at first wants to suggest. He changes his mind. He doesn't like that. And he brings a raya that just can't be solved from the following case. He quotes a Yerushalmi. Before he quotes a Yerushalmi, basically the gang, the mahalach, the path that he's going to take on his attack on this halacha, on this sack of this dayan, is based on the principle we spoke about before, that kol she'ena mechuyu v'dovah, whoever is not obligated in the matter, cannot fulfill someone else's obligation. And he's going to say, this person who missed a whole day of Sfiras Omer is now, like Dr. Amoson was suggesting before in reading of the Shulchan Aruch, he's not obligated anymore in the midst of Sfiras Omer. And he says, I have a similar case in the Yerushalmi in Masechtas Megillah. The Yerushalmi in Masechtas Megillah is discussing a case of Purim, is discussing the following case. You have, as we know, there's 2 days of Purim. There's Yudal, the 14th day of Adar, which is for us regular, we'll call them Ben Ir, the Gemara calls us, a regular city boy. You live in a regular city, either somewhere in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutzlaret, which did not have walls surrounding it for the times of Yeshua ben Nun, or this Purim on Tezvav, what we call Shushan Purim, for the Krachim, for those villages that had walls surrounded since the times of Yeshua ben Nun, and the most common example of that is Yerushalayim, the old city nowadays. Okay, so you have two Purims, 14th and 15th. Let's say you have a guy from, a city boy, a Bnei Brak guy, he's a 14th Purim, you know, he keeps Purim on the 14th day, and he decides, you know, he enjoyed Purim so much, he wants to celebrate again, you know, he wants to enjoy the party the next day. So, he sleeps over the night after the 14th, meaning the night of the 15th, he sleeps over Sdom B'nai Brak, and the 15th day, he travels to Yerushalayim to join the festivities and celebrations. As he enters the city, he comes to a shul, and he sees up to Megillah landing, and they say, new, does anybody know how to read the Megillah? And he says, well, I know how to read the Megillah. I landed yesterday in B'nai Brak on the 14th. Is he allowed to lay in the Megillah for those people in Yerushalayim on the 15th, but they're celebrating Purim on the 15th, but for him it's not Purim. For him it's just a day of fun and games. He had the mitzvah of Purim yesterday on the 14th. Is he allowed to lay in the Megillah for them on the 15th or not? So the Yerushalmi says, no. He's not obligated today in Purim. Again, his Purim was yesterday on the 14th. Even though he's a nice Erlecha from Yiddish guy who knows to lay in the Megillah, and he laid it yesterday even on the 14th, since he is not obligated on the 15th day to lay the Megillah, he cannot be mighty, he cannot fulfill the obligation of the congregation, he cannot lay it for them. They'll have to find somebody who is a village boy, meaning who's someone who's celebrating Purim on that day, really, to lay the Megillah for them. That's the Pesach of Yerushalmi. Now, says the Pre-Chadosh, even though, he explains, he says, even though this guy, if he wanted to, very easily, very quickly, he could have made himself a guy who's celebrating Purim on the 15th day, all you have to do in order to celebrate Purim on the 15th day is sleep over that night, you know, the night of the 14th going to the 15th in that city, and you became like a resident for this halacha. It's very easy to change your status from a 14th to a 15th, and you can even technically have Purim chuyav on you for 2 days, according to many places. It's not so hard, but he didn't do that. So we see he's considered an ena mechuyav v'davar, he's considered someone who's not obligated in the mitzvah, and therefore he cannot lay the Megillah, he cannot read the Megillah for those people on the 15th. That's the Bichadash. I want to draw a parallel to this case. And since this guy missed the bracha of Sfiras Omer, the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is telling me, says the Prichadash, that he loses the mitzvah, like we pointed out before, and therefore, this person, even if he's a Shliach Tzibur from Ma'ariv in the shul, he should not make a bracha on Sfiras Omer, someone else should do it, because he's considered an Einu Mechoy V'davar, he's not obligated anymore in the mitzvah. So what could he do, says the Prichadash? The only thing he can do, like we know, the Eitzah is that someone else, he can listen to somebody else make the bracha, somebody else who is still mechuyev in Sfiras Omer in a full-fledged way, that he's still counting every day with the bracha, let him listen to his friend's bracha, and then he can say the counting by himself, like the Shulchan Aruch said, you count every day without a bracha. And that's the outcome, that is the psak of the Pre-Kadosh. So again, let's summarize what we have so far. We have the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, which at face value tells us that if you miss a day, you have lost your opportunity to continue counting with the bracha, and the Shulchan Aruch says you continue counting only without a bracha, just mention the days and the weeks that were up. We spoke out that Sfiras Omer is a personal counting, it's different than the years of Yovel, where the mitzvah comes on each person to do it by themselves. We spoke about the principle of Arvus, of we guarantee, we have a halacha of Kol Yisrael Reivim Zel Zel, we can guarantee we're supposed to guarantee the mitzvahs one to another, that would typically, in many cases of mitzvahs, obligate or allow me to make the bracha for you. We have the first, the pre-chadash quotes the fact of this dayan, this judge, who paskins that you should be able to apply that principle here, and therefore some of the shliach tzibur, or if you have some, another case I didn't speak out before, if you have somebody specifically, like the case I was speaking out before with Rabbi Miller, if he is still obligated in the bracha, he was counting every day, and I missed a day, according to this dayan, it should be the same halacha, I could, even if I'm not the shliach tzibur, but if I'm him, his personal gabbai, I can count for him, I can make the bracha for him, and he could be yotzi through me. That would also come out. But the pre-chadash rejects this with the Yerushalmi, the Raya of the Yerushalmi. Again, the case of the Yerushalmi was discussed in the case of Hilchos Megillah, a case of reading the Megillah that a person is obligated on the 14th day, cannot lay the Megillah on the 15th day. Those two conclusions of the pre-chadash, this will be the same thing. In this case, it will be considered an Enoi Mechuy of the Gavah. Yes?
He missed the bracha.
Oh, excellent point. The pre-chadash says yes. I would...
You don't even count.
Well, the Shulchan said you should count. It's because...
You don't think you should count without a
brother,
but you
right,
count
because... Okay, because possibly, because that's a good... I like that point, and it seems like the Prima Gadol in the middle we'll get to is going to raise that issue. But seemingly, the Prima Gadol understands that the Shulchan Aruch is giving you, like, a good advice, maybe because there are other places, truth be told, we'll get to that soon, that hold every night is separate mitzvah, and even if I miss a whole night, I can count every other night with a bracha. The Shulchan Aruch is in a pasuk like that. But, so, therefore, it's a good advice to count the sphere, and you'll get maybe some type of quasi-mitzvah. I don't know exactly how to call it. But, right. But without the bracha. But seemingly, the pre-chadash understands, like we're emphasizing over here, that if I miss the bracha, I have lost the quote-unquote real mitzvah of sphere. And therefore, I'm considering the enem achoy of the dog.
The one difference with the second example is the with the Tzvira HaOmer, it's the Daber, and with the Megillah, it's Mishmoa. So there seems to me a great difference. We're obligated to say the Omer, but we're not obligated to say the Megillah, but to hear it. So I think the analogy I understand, but I think it falls through, because we're listening, that's our obligation. We can listen to a katan in the Megillah, but we have all we can. If it's the katan that's already in the chinuch, all right.
No, we don't pass him. That's so close. You can't. Has to be a chuyv v'gavah.
The first why not? He's a chuyv v'gavah on the Megillah. I'm a chuyv
v'gavah. Okay. No. Okay. We don't do that.
All right.
Okay. That's not, okay. Well, we're gonna see. There's other issues with this case in a minute. So now on page 3 of the booklet, we have the Prima Gadol. Prima Gadol, which is another classic commentator on the Shulchan Aruch. Prima Gadol's Yartzeit actually was yesterday, year 200 and something Yartzeit, I don't know if that counts. Prima Gadol is a prolific author on Shulchan Aruch, and without him, we probably would not have a lot of halachas we have today. He was a tremendous amkan. He just went down to the source of it, and he was able to focus and bring out many points that other poskim might have missed. I once read his Talmidim wrote about their Rebbe, the Prima Gadol, that he spent 20 years learning just Masechtos Chulin, which is the main Gemara which discussed a lot of the halachas of Yeridei. He spent 20 years learning Masechtos Chulin before he wrote his Kedushim on it. He was so focused on it, that's what gave him Siyat Yishmaya to be such a tremendous place. I saw also once in the Sifra, writes, the reason why the Prima Gadol was Zeicha, such Siyat Yishmaya, that he's Zeicha, that we always cannot pass him like him, was because he writes his psalm in the Derech Anivus. He writes in a very humble fashion, and that's why he says, as opposed to other psalms, let him say who, that a lot of times we don't pass in a way like with them because they wrote in the way of Gaiva. Prima Gadol was a tremendous honor and a tremendous book. Okay, so the Prima Gadol on page 3, he quotes first the Pre-Chadash, and he seems to just quote it and seems to, at first glance, agree with the stock of the Pre-Chadash outcome that you should not be able to be mostly somebody else if you yourself cannot make a bracha. However, the second part of Prima Gadol, where the second set of brackets is on the page, he takes a curve. He changes course. He says it's hard to compare the case of Megillah to the case of Sfiras Omer. Basically, he's saying the claim that Florence brought up before. The case of Purim, when you have the guy, the people who are celebrating Purim on the 15th day, Yerushalayim, the person who's coming there from the 14th, the guy who's coming from Bnei Brak, the Ben Ir, he has absolutely no chiyuvim of Purim on that day. Purim, and for him, was on 14th exclusively. The 15th day, the only halacha that's begeir to him is that he doesn't say tachanun. Otherwise, and no has faded. Otherwise, Purim is not celebrated for him, because he's totally not obligated in the yechiv, because he's a ben, the ben ear, not a ben krach. He comes from the city, not from the villages. However, says the Prima God, in the case of Sfira to Omer, although you lose your opportunity to count with the bracha if you miss a day, but like our Florence said, you still are fully obligated in the mitzvah. Just unfortunately, part of the mitzvah is tamimos. It has to be complete 7 whole weeks you have to count. Unfortunately, you miss a day. So your weeks are not going to be complete. Your weeks are not going to be whole because you have a hole in the middle of your counting. But that doesn't take away from your mitzvah. The mitzvah still continues every day. So says the Prima Gadim, I argue on this comparison of the pre-Chadash Mei to the case of Purim. And therefore, it sounds like from the Prima Gadim, he doesn't write this clearly, it sounds like he would argue on the stock of the pre-Chadash. It sounds like the Prima Gadim would agree that somebody with the dayan of the pre-Chadash, with the Rav that the pre-Chadash fellow is quoting, that somebody else could yes make a bracha for, meaning I, who missed a day of Sfiras Olah, I should be able to make a bracha for somebody else, who is still chayiv in the mitzvah of Sfiras Olah. However, the Prima Gadim does not write that clearly, so it's hard for me to say, you know, with 100% clarity that's what he holds, but he argues in the Raya of the Pre-Chadash that leads me to believe he would also argue on the Pesach. He has other suggestions. We're going to cut them out for now. At the end of the day, he says the best thing you can do, either is like what the Pre-Chadash said, to listen to somebody else who's still for sure obligated in the Bracha, and then say Amen to that Bracha, and then count. Or he says another interesting Chat. He says another piece of advice. If you are a father and you have a child who's magia l'chinuch, he's a katan magia l'chinuch, meaning he's above the age of 7 or 8, somewhere between 7, 8, and 13, so he's developing some maturity in his intellect, and he's what's called a katan that's magia l'chinuch, the obligation of the father is to train him in brachos. You have to train him. That's the obligation of chinuch. So much so that when a father trains his child to make a bracha, he's allowed to say the bracha with him, word for word, and say Hashem's name. That's not a problem with bracha levatala. That's not saying a bracha in vain. We have an obligation to train our children. We have an obligation to teach them the correct way to say the bracha. Says the Prima Gadim, I have a way to save face. If a guy feels that he's too embarrassed to ask his friend to make the bracha for him, if he has a child who's of the age of Magia Lachina, let's say a 9, 10-year-old boy, you go over to him and say, Yankel Shmerl, did you count Sfiras Olah tonight? No, not yet, Tati. Okay, let's count. I'm going to teach you how to say the bracha. Repeat after me. Baruch, baruch, ta. Hashem, say Hashem's name. Okay. Hashem, and therefore you have said the bracha. So although maybe it's not a classical case of saying the bracha on Sfiras Olah, but it's kind of like a feel-good. If you want to be able to feel good and still make the bracha, try to Prima Gadim, I'm giving you a happy piece of advice, you know, a way to kind of, you know.
Assuming the cousin doesn't know the bracha himself, he has to be at an age where
okay.
He can't, but could be less than 9 or 10.
No, because if he's less than 9 or 10, let's say 5. You know, there's a certain amount of gray area where it's not sure what the status is. But let's say you're a 5-year-old kid. So it's a shaila if you're, you know, fully allowed to say the whole bracha with him if you're totally not obligated in it. But here is magia lechinuch, and he's magia to the mitzvah.
The din of chinuch was a child able to do mitzvah. So 5-year-olds also doesn't make a bracha.
Okay,
yeah.
And that might be a debatable part. Okay, that's the Prima Gadim's advice. Now, up until this point, we were discussing, pardon the expression, a regular Joe. A regular guy who misses a day, I'll use myself as an example, we miss a day of Sfiras Olah. Would we say the halacha would change if we're dealing with a different person? If we're dealing with a Rav or a Rebbe, who we know the minig in Klai Yisrael, many places, in many kehilos, is that although there's a Shliach Tzibur, there's a Chazan who davens Maya Kedomet, he does not make the bracha for Sfira out loud. You have the Rav or the Rebbe who says the bracha out loud in a lot of special places with a whole special tune, and everyone listens very carefully, and he counts the sphere first, and then everyone, the rest of the congregation, says the sphere afterwards. What would happen if Chas V'Sholom, the Maridasa, the Rav, who was sick, whatever the case was, he missed the day of sphere? And now the next night he's back in Shul for Mayav, and he chaps, and he missed the whole night before. Would the halacha change for him? Is there any way to, it's a big embarrassment. Here he is, with a shul of packed thousands of people came to hear the Rebbe say the special musaf, the special tune for Sfiras Olah, and he's not going to be able to do it. So do we say, is there room, is there a little wiggle room to say that out the bushaf, the kavadat tibur, could we allow the Rav to say the bracha even though he missed the whole day? Okay? So the Sefer Mikroi Kodesh, which was written by Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who was the Rav in Yerushalayim in the early 1900s, he quotes that this once happened to the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi was the Rav Yosef Zayv Halevi Salavetchik was the father of Rav Chaim Brisker, father of the Salavetchik dynasty, the Rav of Brisk, and he was a Brisker. And unfortunately, one time, whatever the case was, he missed a day of Tefillah, And what he did was, says the Mikra Kodesh, see Pesach Frank says, what the Beit HaLevi did was that he was a Shliach Tzibur for Ma'ariv, and he had one of his dedicated Balabatim, who was still counting with the Bracha, stand next to him, and he was being moisty to his Balabas with a Bracha, meaning, like we spoke out before, that if I miss the day, I have somebody next to me who is still obligated to count with a Bracha, I can make the bracha for him. Now again, if I would make the bracha for him, so that night, he's not going to be able to make his own bracha anymore, because I already made, he said amen, and he was yoked to the bracha. So the Beis HaLevi, I don't know if it was the president of the shul, whoever it was, he had a real dedicated balabas who was willing to give up his bracha for the Rav, and the Beis HaLevi made the bracha out loud, and this balabas said amen, like everybody else, and then he was counted and didn't make his own bracha. So the Mishra Yekadish that T.P. Frank brings down, this is what the Beis HaLevi did. And so we see that the Beis HaLevi, Paskin, like the Zion of the pre-Chadosh, and seem like the pre-Megadim passes also, that the regular din of Arvus, the regular din of I'm a guarantor, so everyone's mitzvahs allowed him, even though he wasn't obligating the bracha anymore because he missed the whole day, allowed him to make the bracha for a member of the congregation. Now, I want to digress for a minute because I want to share a fascinating story which my father, I spoke to my father on Friday, and he reminded me of this story, and it's a little bit off topic, but I really think it's kedai because it's such a geschmack out with such a story. The Beis HaLevi, like I said, was the Rav in Brisk. I'm trying to say it quickly because I'll have to get to other points. And the Teretz Mima, who was a Pirush on Chumash, his name Rabbi Baruch HaLevi Epstein, was the son of the Orach HaShulchan. Okay? He was a prolific author also, and he wrote, besides the Sfarim on Chumash and other Sfarim, he wrote a multiple volume set called Makar Baruch, which was his personal diary of the many stories that happened to him. And he was the son of the Orach HaShulchan. He was the nephew of the Nesir. He spent many years in Volozhin. He was surrounded his whole life by many Gedolim, and he has many fascinating stories that are only found there because they happened to him. He writes the following story. It's hard to write this story. He was traveling home. He was in Volozhin Yeshiva in the late 1800s. He was traveling home to Nevarik. From Volozhin to Nevarik, I don't know exactly the route, but he was traveling home, and his train took a stop, overnight stop, in Minsk. And he wasn't prepared to stop overnight. He writes he had no money on him, or very little money on him, because he wasn't prepared. He was a very budgeted person, and later in his life he became a banker. He was very good at budgeting himself. And he said he really didn't have any money on him, so he asked the local, when he got the train, where's a very cheap hotel. Anyway, he shows up in this real dive of a hotel, and he describes in his diary the living conditions in the room that they gave him, especially when they saw him show up at the four yeshiva bracha with his little satchel. They gave him the worst of the worst rooms. He really describes it as a really decrepit situation. Anyway, he's in this room, he's really getting homesick because, you know, this is comfortable compared to what he had in yeshiva. This was really bad. And he's looking forward to going home the next day. He's stuck in Minsk overnight. But he can't even, he says, he tried to lay down the mattress. It was so uncomfortable. He didn't know what he was going to do. And all of a sudden, he hears in the lobby, and he probably had very thin walls in this type of hotel, and he hears like a big commotion going on in the lobby. He goes out, and he sees the Beis HaLevi, who was the Rav in that time, I think it's Flutz, had come to this hotel. So he was also stuck in Minsk overnight and needed a place to stay. And the hotel keeper was up in arms because the rooms were all booked. For some reason, this hotel, even though the condition that it was, all the rooms were booked, and he didn't want to turn away the Beis HaLevi. He wanted the Gedolei Hadar, the Rav, the Yosef Levi Salvation. So he's not sure what to do. So the Beis HaLevi says, you know, let me see the guest list. Maybe I know some of the people that are in the hotel. Maybe I can bunk with one of the people. I don't mind. I'll share a room with somebody. Anyway, to make the, you know, to get to the point, he sees the name of this Bacha, Baruch HaLevi Epstein. He figures out who he is, Baruch Shulchan son. And his nephew says, I see the Bacha from Volozhin. I can room with him. I'm going to go knock on his door and see if we can share the room for tonight. He knocks on the door. Tartino almost faints. In fact, the Beis HaLevi is by his door. Of course, he invites the Beis HaLevi in with a Gedolei Hadar. And, okay, they share the room for the night. But, of course, once the Beis HaLevi comes to town, a lot of people heard that he came to town. And, oh, next thing you know, people are knocking on the door, coming to visit, get brachas, ask shilas. The room turned into a beehive of activity, and I don't know, it sounds like nobody slept that night. Okay, but he was very excited because now he has the Beis HaLevi in his room. And he writes a whole chapter in his diary about all the stories that happened that night. Let's get to the point. Anyway, a guy comes into the room, one of the maskilim, one of the enlightened people of the town of Minsk, who was one of the chief librarians in the town of Minsk, and he's just discussing, he opened up a conversation with the Beis HaLevi, and he told the Beis HaLevi, no, we have your Sfarim in our library in Minsk, and we're a little disappointed at you, because you're such a great tzaddik, you're such a great goyim, you're a genius, and we expected in your Sfarim that you should be able to find kulis, you should be able to find leniencies that the other rabbanim can't find, you are such a walking encyclopedia, we expected in your Sfarim to get some really good leans and seeds in halacha that we can't find anywhere else. The Beis HaLevi says, what? You looked at my Sfarim, didn't find kulas? I have many, many kulas in my Sfarim. The guy's like, really? Wow, I don't know. We didn't see any. He's like, well, I'll tell you like this. When you have like a traveling salesman, he has merchandise with him. He doesn't bring everything with him. He just brings, you know, some of his wares. and you get an idea of what his merchandise is like. And if you like his stuff, he can bring you more things from his, you know, main supplier. So I'll tell you, I'm going to lay down the table for you 7 coolers that I can tell you off the bat. And you'll understand my type of coolers, and you'll see that I'm really a big maker. The guy's very excited. It's my skill. He's very excited. And the base label says like this. Number one, he says, base label says there are many people that are machmir, that they only daven mayer till chatzos halayim. They hold after chatzos at night, you're not daven mayer anymore. You missed the opportunity. Says the base label, I'm makel. I have a way of proving that you can daven mayer till halayim shachar. Number one. Number two, he says, the Shulchan Aruch says, the only people that are muchtik b'chassidus, that are steeped in piety, can wear tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam. Special extra pair of tefillin. I hold the base label, he says, I'm makel. Anybody who wants to wear tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam. The third kula, he says, that some people are machmir, they will not say extra piyutim during Shemoneh Esrei. They won't put extra things in. To say during Shemoneh Esrei, I'm mekel. You can put extra things in Shemoneh Esrei. The fourth kula he said is that some people are machmir, the Shulchan Aruch brings down to be machmir, when Erev Tishba falls out on Shabbos, that after Chatzos on Shabbos, you're not allowed to learn regular things anymore, you're only allowed to learn things which are sad, I'm mekel. You can learn regular divrei Torah also. The fifth thing he said is that some people are machmir, not to fast on Shana, Rosh Hashanah is a big yontif, you can't fast. I'm Mako. If you want to fast on Shana, you can fast. The sixth kula he says is that some people are machmir on Yom Kippur, and they say, you're not allowed to make a steak of Yom Yom Kippur, you're only allowed to keep one day, you're not allowed to keep 2 days on Kippur, I'm Mako. You want to have 2 days on Kippur because steak of Yom, you can have 2 days of Yom Kippur. The seventh kula I have for you is that the Shulchan Aruch Paskin by Sira Sa'aymer, if you miss the whole day, you can't count anymore with a bracha, I'm Mako. You can still count with a bracha. Obviously, the Maskel got the point, and he packed his bags and left. And everyone in the room is a big tumult. He writes to everyone so excited. They slavery showed off his guidance, stuff like that, off the cuff. Okay, great story. Now, in Yiddish, there's an expression, you can't ask a kasha on a mic. You can't ask a question on a story. But I think this is a Lissish story, not a Chassidish story. You have a right to ask a question. What does Beis Levi mean? What does Beis Levi mean when he said that you can count three without a bracha? So there's a whole discussion, Beis Levi. I know but you can count with a bracha. Right? Even if you miss all day with... You know, you count, even though you missed the whole day of three, you can still count with the bracha. Now, there is a whole sheet of Beis Halevi, which I didn't prepare to speak about because I knew it would be for sure make this over time. And he learned the two separate mitzvahs, counting weeks and counting days. Put that aside, because that's one way to explain this story. The other way to explain this story is what we just said from Tzvi Pesach Frank. The Beis Halevi holds that I can be, if I miss the whole day with the bracha, I can go ahead and make a bracha for somebody else who still is mechuyev in a bracha. And the Beis Levi himself did that according to our Tzvi Pesach Frank. It brings the story that happened. So that is one shot in the story of the Beis Levi. Now let's get back to regular schedule programming. So we have like this. We have what happens to a Rav who misses a day of Tzvi. So option number one is that he can find someone in the congregation that still is obligated in a bracha and make the bracha for him. Comes along the Shevin HaLevi Shlita, Rav Vodner, big, tremendous pesach in B'nei Brak. He's already over 100 years old, Kainahara. He writes the following thing. He writes, it's such a busha, a Rav, a big shul, who's he doesn't write a Rebbe, but you know, it seems like that's what he's implying, that this shul looks to him to make the bracha out loud in a special way. If he's not going to make the bracha, it's not covered as tiba, it's not honorable for the congregation that the Rav shouldn't be able to make the bracha. And he says, I'm going to permit the Rav to make a bracha even though he missed the whole other day, because covered as tiba, the lack of honor, dignity for the tiba. Where am I coming from? I can't just make this up. He says, I'm going to draw a parallel. Rav Vodner draws a parallel to halacha and hilchos tiba. Halacha is, by davening, we're all familiar with that, if someone feels the urge to relieve himself, he needs to go to the bathroom during davening, not allowed to daven. It's an aveira. The Shulchan Aruch says, if you do so, and you daven, when you feel the urge they need to relieve yourself, your tefillah is a to'eva, it's an abomination, and you have to go ahead and re-daven. However, if you feel the Shulchan Aruch right, that b'di'eved, you daven, and you feel you were able to hold yourself in for another 72 minutes, so b'di'eved, your tefillah was good. Again, l'chat tefillah, you cannot do that. And if you did it and you felt you went right away to the bathroom afterwards, you have to daven again. If you did it and you realize you're still able to hold yourself in for 72 minutes, says the Shulchan Aruch, but the evidence is good. Says the Bir Halacha, writes the Mishnah Berurah, that if you're a Shliach Tzibur, if you're the Chazan for the Shul, and right before you saw Chazaras HaShas, you feel the urge and you have to go relieve yourself, if you feel that you're able to wait 72 minutes, then L'chat Chilo, you're allowed to continue and say Chazaras HaShas. You don't have to walk out of the shul and leave the tzibur hanging because that's kavrat tzibur. So what's the Bir Halacha saying? That in a case where it's kavrat tzibur, we allow you to rely on a bidyevet and make a lachat chila. Because the bidyevet is for everybody, if bidyevet, if you already did it, and you're able to hold yourself in for 72 minutes, the tzibur was yotze. You're okay. Here, you're shliach tzibur, we say lachat chila, stay there, don't have to go, you don't have to leave your post. You can stay there and daven lechatzilah. Says Rav Osner, I want to draw a parallel and say over here also, this Rav is covered at Tibor, he's allowed to rely on the bidyevet of the Rishonim, the Arshitas of Rishonim, the whole that each and every day is an independent mitzvah. Since there are those opinions, even though Shulchan Aruch does not pass them, doesn't bring them, I hold that you can draw a parallel and say you can rely on those opinions bidyevet and the Rav can make the bracha. That's the fact of Rav Osner. Comes along Rav Osher Weiss, Rav Osher Weiss is a tremendous, much younger than Rav Osner, but a tremendous gain. He lives in Yerushalayim also, originally born in America, Chassidus Rav. And he says, I have a hard time being soivel, I have a hard time agreeing with this shape of the lady. Because first of all, the parallel to the case of a person who needs to relieve himself is a very weak parallel. He says, because over there, we have a Shulchan Aruch which already set up for us, is a lechatzila and bidyevet for everybody. So we say, the lechatzila is, you're not allowed to, you can't daven. But yeah, if you did, if you're able to hold yourself in for 72 minutes, it's okay, bidyevet. The Shulchan Aruch already gave us that formula of lechatzila and bidyevet. And therefore we say, when it's shliach tzibur, in the case of kavanat tzibur, we make the bidyevet lechatzila. But all that formula, all those variables are already found in Shulchan Aruch. In Hilchas Sfira Ta'omer, there's no variable. The Shulchan Aruch only passed in one way. He didn't say a lechatzila and bidyevet situation. It's true there are other Rishayim who hold that each and every day is an independent mitzvah, and their valid opinion. But the Shulchan Aruch, who's our poisik, doesn't give two options. He gives only one option. And therefore, Rav Asher Weiss paskin that you cannot rely on this Sak Halacha L'maisa, and he is very hesitant to allow a Rav to make a bracha just for the Kavrat Tzibur. He says, I'll bring you a Chassidus Maisa to prove it. And I like this Maisa very much because it's about my on my mother's side, my maternal grandfather, the Ben Achaben, from the Pinchas Mikaret. The Pinchas Mikaret was a big Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and the following story happened with him. I looked this up, Rav Asher Weiss quotes only half the story, I looked up the whole story in the Sefer. It happened twice in his life that he was humiliated, quote unquote, in a public fashion in front of the Hasidim, and he writes to his Samach Simcha Gedolah. He's very happy that he was able to bring himself to such a humbling experience. What were the two experiences that were so humbling for him? One time during Hashanah on Sukkot, when everyone's walking around, the Rebbe, of course, has the schus of leading the congregation, and he's going to say the Hashanah out loud, and everyone repeats after him, like the Chazan does. One time, a Pinchas Mikaret was the leading the Hashanah, and he started saying the wrong thing. The Rebbe said, no, right? Because he started saying the wrong Hashanah. Every day, it's a specific paragraph to say. He started saying the wrong paragraph. He felt that was such a humbling experience for him, he was so happy that he had the opportunity to be humbled in front of the eyes of the congregation. Story one. Story two, he writes, is that one time, for whatever reason, he missed the whole day of Sfiras Ha'omer. And he couldn't count with the bracha anymore. And he was samach simcha gedolah that now he's not going to be able to count with the bracha in front of his whole over chassidim, his whole shul. And people are going to know that the Rebbe missed the day. It's very embarrassing. But he's very happy because he's going to be able to teach everybody that he's also a human being. He also, whatever reason, he missed the day of Sfiras Ha'omer. He's going to keep the halacha mufureshes and He's going to keep the halacha mufureshes and Shulchan Aruch that he can't count anymore with the bracha. And it's a learning experience. Now the whole congregation will know that it's okay. It's okay. It's okay to be human. And therefore, Rav Asher Weiss concludes, he is writing this tshuva to a Rav, he says, he suggests to go to Pinchas Mikaret and stick to your gun, stick to the Shulchan Aruch, and explain to the Baal Batim that there's Halacha in Shulchan Aruch, and hopefully it'll bring a covenant to Ferris to everybody. So just to sum up what we spoke about so far, because we're out of time, again, we'll start off with the Halacha of what's going to be if you forgot a day of Sfiras Ha'omer. To say Halacha Mufresh in Shulchan Aruch is that you lose the opportunity for a bracha. What are some possibilities how we can dray around and still make a bracha even though you missed the whole day? So we spoke out the Dayan of the Pre-Chadash. The Dayan of the Pre-Chadash said, Arbus, you can still be mighty even though you yourself can't make the bracha. You yourself can still be mighty somebody else who's still mechuyev in the bracha. The Pre-Chadash took issue with that because of the halacha by Megillah of a Yudala cannot be mighty a Tesvavnik. The Pre-Megadim seemed to argue on that raya, but he seems hesitant to pass in Hedra against the Pre-Chadash. And therefore, he suggests the Katam Shtikl, right, being Machanach the child. We have the Shevet HaLevi's sack of a Rav, is allowed, of Kavra Tzibur, is allowed to do it. We have the Beis HaLevi, who followed the sack of the Dayan of the Pre-Chadash. I just want to speak out that Shmuel Kamensky, Shlita, and Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that's how also passed my debt. That a Chazin, or a Rav, if he wants to still make a bracha, could find somebody in the congregation who's still obligating the bracha and make the bracha for them. However, Rav Shachzatzal and Avi Ezri, and I think Rav Tziroko is not here, but lend me his Avi Ezri, we'll go through inside, he goes barichas, a lot of riots, to prove that Pre-Chadash is right, and holds that you cannot be moiti, so we have a, bring it down, we have an earlier Machlokes Acharonim, we have a contemporary machlokes achronim also had a pasuk in the Maisa. We have the advice of Usher Weiss, if you're a rov in such a situation, just to swallow it and. I didn't speak out of Maisa. I spoke out. I mean, I didn't speak out of Maisa. I didn't speak out. Okay. Right, okay. So we have, and the Nitzah Gavriel also passed like the saying from Amisha and the saying from Sheva Levi, but and thank you everyone for coming, and have a great day.
Yeah.